The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Joe O'Shea and Jennifer Gannon are with us for our weekly TV spot. And Jennifer, can I start by offering my commiserations? Indeed, should it even be condolences on the loss of Love Island for 2020? What are you going to do with your summer nights now?
What are we all going to do? I mean, I had my doubts the other week when ITV cheerfully said that it was going to go ahead. It was like they were living in a parallel universe. But I mean, I did admire their optimism, and it was nice to kid ourselves for a minute that everything was kind of going back to normal. But like, Love Island is such a summer staple now. It's so many, it's a part of so many people's summer routine, the way Big Brother was, and the hole in the schedule will definitely be felt. It will be missed, and it's not just by fans like me or casual viewers, but by commentators, the tabloid press, and those who just love to get incensed about it. Like, so much content has been erased in one fell swoop. And you know, all joking aside, it's safety first for ITV, but I do think with everything that's happened regarding Love Island over the past while, especially with, you know, the tragic death of Caroline Flack this year, they need this time out that you would hopefully think that they'll rethink and strategize about a new way forward for the show. I mean, one, like, the show needs to be more inclusive, sexuality-wise, definitely, race-wise, and yeah, you know, a bit of body positivity wouldn't go astray. I mean, I doubt any of this is going to happen, but I can dream that there may be a different future for Love Island if they give it a rest. And I do think we all kind of need a break from it. It was starting to feel a bit like overkill, especially with the addition of Winter Love Island, which was completely forgettable. I don't think there's any harm in having like a fallow year like Glastonbury. And I just hope it comes back to something that's a little bit more positive in the landscape.
Joe O'Shea, I'd imagine the broadcasters though must be livid about this, because this is a major financial hit. This was a programme that, unlike many others at present, was able to bring in big sponsorship and advertising revenue.
Yeah, and it was appointment TV, and it made lots of money for ITV. They got huge sponsorship out of it, big advertising revenue. It was the centrepiece of their summer. It's a big problem for ITV now, and that's partly why you would guess why they were trying so hard to go ahead with the show in June.
And I'm sorry, Joe, it's not like, just ITV. Virgin Media here in Ireland would have had massive numbers, not just for the traditional linear viewing at 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night or whenever it would be on, but also in downloads onto the player.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, and also the spin-offs as well. I mean, even the chat shows or the daily afternoon shows and the morning shows would spend quite a long time talking about what happened last night. It got people interested. It got people eyeballs on the TV. It's a big problem for them. It was interesting. ITV, their boss, Kevin Ligo, said that they had tried very hard to do it in Mallorca. It wasn't going to be possible. But he also said he felt uneasy about airing a show that these people slathering over each other while the rest of the nation is being told to socially distance. So, I mean, that's a kind of a strange phrase for him to use. But you can see they tried really, really hard, and they must be kicking themselves now. They're going to have to wait until 2021, and it's a huge opportunity for them missed over the summer. And it's a lot of airtime to fill as well for ITV and for Virgin as well. You know, there is not a lot of TV being made at the moment, and it's going to cause big problems for these broadcasters.
One of the things that is available is a new Netflix documentary on Michelle Obama. It's to accompany her memoir, Becoming, which was such a major hit. And let's hear a little bit from the trailer for this documentary.
I am from the south side of Chicago.
That tells you as much about me as you need to know.
It was a typical working class community.
Some good music, some good barbecue, some good times.
She's just a girl and she's on fire.
So little of who I am happened in those 8 years. So much more of who I was happened before.
In high school,
your guidance counselor
didn't see in you what you saw in yourself. Yeah.
She decided I was reaching too high.
How did you, as a black woman, persevere?
We can't afford to wait for the world to be equal, to start feeling seen.
I feel like I got to share with you all that the energy that's out there is much better than what we see.
How's everybody doing?
This girl is on fire.
As my mother would say,
Michelle and Barack Obama aren't special. There are millions of Michelle and Barack Obamas all over the world.
Fire, fire.
if we can open up a little bit more to each other and share our stories, that's what breaks down barriers.
Wow.
This is totally me, unplugged for the first time.
Joe, I'd started reading Becoming and for some reason put it down and never got back to it again. Having listened to that clip, yeah. I'm tempted to go back and read the book, but not necessarily watch the documentary.
No, I think that clip does a very good job of telling you exactly what this show is going to be like, and you'd almost not have, you know, you wouldn't have to watch the show after hearing that. It's going to be an hour and a half of inspiration and self-focus and empowerment and probably quotes from Beyonce and lots of stuff like that. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that. She seems like an interesting, powerful woman. She was a fantastic first lady. But I was just wondering, looking at this, you know, the West Wing was a kind of a way for a lot of people to get through the George W. Bush years. And I wonder if this, and documentaries like it, there was one on Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the Associate Justice of the Supreme Court, is actually been in hospital this week, that was in a kind of a similar line. And I think it's kind of almost comfort viewing for people who can't bear to watch Trump and what's going on there. And I think a lot of people watch it. It will be hugely popular. I'm not sure how much you will learn about what's really going on with the Obamas, what they're really like. I think it'll be a very soft focus, lots of inspiration, lovely music, and young girls saying as they did there, I'm becoming a strong, confident woman. But it doesn't appeal to me at all because I don't think there's going to be any angles to it. I think it's just going to be just a straight ahead, beautiful homage to Michelle Obama.
Does it grab you, Jennifer?
I mean, there's a part in it where Barack Obama comes out on stage. He makes an appearance at one of like the book launches, and he says he feels like it's when Jay-Z comes out during a Beyonce concert. And that comparison is completely true. If anything, it reminds me of the self-produced Beyonce HBO documentary, Life is a Dream. Life is but a dream. You don't learn anything. It's not particularly insightful. It's just like a lovely hagiography, which is fine. It's like a fluff celebrity profile you'd read in a fashion magazine. And to be honest, we have to remember this is befitting of the Obamas' content deal with Netflix. So they're not going to show you something like, you know, they're not looking for scandal or unbiased analysis of her time in the White House. I mean, I'm curious to see the fact that it is an intimate portrait of her. She is one of those people, she's an icon, but she also feels like a best friend to so many women. And that's a really difficult trick to pull off. I think the last person who did it well was Oprah. So I will enjoy seeing it in that way because, you know, it focuses on her relatability and her realness and, you know, how she became an influential figure in her own right. And that's got to be an interesting story somewhere beneath the fluff.
I wonder, is anyone making a sort of a documentary about Melania and Ivanka in the White House, Kardashian style, about the Trump women in the White House?
It would be a terrifying drama. Dallas ordeal.
Yeah, you might say a crime drama about Ivanka. I don't think anybody wants to sit down and watch an hour and a half about Melania Trump, to be honest with you.
I bet you loads of people would. I disagree with you entirely, Joe. I actually know some people who would.
Really?
Okay. Oh, I do, actually,
maybe,
yeah.
If you're into the fashion, maybe, or, I mean, the story of Melania Trump, if it was told in an unbiased
properly.
Way, is absolutely fascinating. And the relationship that they have, which is very interesting. I'd love to see a documentary about that, but not the Michelle Obama kind of Oprah Winfrey light kind of thing, which is what it seems to be is what we're going to get from Netflix with this.
Okay, we've asked both of you to come up with some drama recommendations for things to go and watch if you haven't watched before, if you wanted to binge on box sets. And Jennifer, your first choice from Netflix is an absolute classic, and you've gone for Mad Men.
Yeah, and I think, you know, now is the time, if you haven't broached it before, just to get into Mad Men. And like, I was very much a Mad Men skeptic when it first aired, I thought, like a lot of shows like Breaking Bad, it's not the show that's the problem. It's the rabid fan base that take the show far too literally. So friend of the show, Patrick Frayne, much missed, he actually showed me the error of my ways and told me that it was worth it and not to be put off by sexist Don Draper worshipping weirdos out there. And I'm really glad he convinced me to give it another go. The most interesting stories for me on Mad Men don't center around Don, who's a complete man baby, and he ends up becoming pretty redundant as time goes on. It's really for me about the rise and the growth of the women characters. You have something like someone like Peggy, played by Elizabeth Moss perfectly, and you see her trajectory from timid secretary to outspoken, talented copywriter. And then someone like Joan, who's the objectified HR manager, she's such a commanding presence and force in the whole show. And then even the much maligned Betty, who typifies that supportive housewife, but she has all this subterranean demons that she's struggling with throughout the show.
She sort of drifted out of the programme, disappointingly. She became less of a central character in the later series.
But when she was in the later series, my God, did she make a big impact with her second marriage and that weird conversation that she had with her new husband about one of the young female lodgers that was her daughter's friend that was staying with them, which will remain ingrained in my brain. Very shocking. And okay, that kind of shows that something
it
that,
is
you
a
know,
fantastic
Peggy has these demons.
Series. We have a clip, and this is where Peggy quits the ad agency and gives her notice to Don.
I want you to know that the day you saw something in me, my whole life changed. And since then, it's been my privilege to not only be at your side, but to be treated like a protege, and for you to be my mentor and my champion.
But
I think I've reached a point where it's time for me to have a new experience.
Really?
I'm giving my notice. I've accepted another offer.
Are you done?
I'm giving the customary 2 weeks. My last day will be the 3rd. And don't think...
It's been crazy around here, and I know I've been taking you for granted, and frankly, I'm impressed. You finally picked the right moment to ask for a raise.
It's time for me to move on.
Come on.
I'm serious.
The brilliant Mad Men there, Elizabeth Moss and John Hamm. That is definitely worth watching again. Joe, your first choice, Better Call Saul, which is on Netflix, which I am getting through very slowly. It is very slow in itself, and I keep moving on to other things instead.
Yeah. I know. This Better Call Saul divides opinion, right? And that's the main criticism, and I understand it. It is not your typical crime drama, right? For people who don't know, Saul Goodman was a lawyer in Breaking Bad, and he was such a strong character in that he got his breakout show, a spin-off show. And as in Breaking Bad, he came up with the one line I quote too many times from TV dramas, which is, you don't need a criminal lawyer, you need a criminal lawyer. And that'll tell you everything about Saul Goodman as a lawyer. The show itself, there's 5 seasons on Netflix, and you really got to give it time. You got to, like, this is great binge watching if you're prepared to go with it. It's slow moving in parts, then it kind of speeds up. There are gangsters in it, but they're almost in the background. The real drama is around Saul Goodman, who's basically a good guy doing bad things and trying to make, he's got a kind of his own kind of code of honor. He moves in a very murky world, and he's trying to do the right thing all the time. And he also is with his partner, his girlfriend, who's also a lawyer. There's great drama and interaction between them, but it does move pretty slowly. And when you're watching on a laptop or your tablet or whatever, the temptation to go away and see if there's anything that's popped up in your emails or social media is pretty strong. So you got to stick with it, but it's well worth it. It's a brilliant show.
Let's hear a clip from it.
It's showtime, folks.
I don't go looking for guilty people to represent.
Your Honor, I'll never do it again.
I told you suit, remember?
That's a loner, okay? I need it back.
I mean, who needs that aggravation, right?
The hell kind of math is that?
700 per defense.
The money is beside the point.
Here's John.
Money is not beside the point. Money is the point.
The day of reckoning is here. It'll be a cold day in hell before I do any more PD work for this shitty court.
I was in that court back there, saving people's lives.
Thank you for restoring my faith in the judicial system. Now you either pay the $3 or you get an additional sticker.
Son of a bitch.
Employee of the month over here. Yeah!
A promo which makes it sound far faster than it actually is. Jennifer, you're recommending Red Riding.
Yeah, I always end up talking about Red Riding because I think it's so underrated. It's a crime drama that deserves so much more attention. It's on All Four and it's based on the quartet of novels by David Peace that centres on corruption within the establishment in West Yorkshire that infects its working class community. It's full on, very gritty depiction of life in the 70s in Northern England. Very violent. Very disturbing. It touches on everything from perverting the course of justice, dangerous obsession, but it intertwines itself with the real life story of the Yorkshire Ripper and it combines that into a fictional world, which I think is a really brave thing to do. And the attention to detail is remarkable. Now, it's not for the faint-hearted, but I think it features truly stunning performances from everyone from Andrew Garfield, Sean Bean, to a haunting performance by Sean Harris, Paddy Considine, Maxine Peake, and our very own Robert Sheehan from Love Hate. He plays the street hustler BJ. And I think he is so talented in it, it really shows his range. And if you're looking for something to binge on right now, it's on All Four, which is free.
Okay, Joe, you're recommending Das Boot. Is it going to be the Amazon original or the Sky reboot?
The Sky re-Das Booting, maybe you're talking about.
Very good.
Sorry. I'm going to go for the original. The Sky reboot is okay, but actually most of the drama doesn't happen on the submarine, which kind of misses the point of the whole thing. The 80s German TV show made a huge impact on me when I was a teenager. The first time I saw it really blew me away. And the reason I'm going this far back in time is because a lot of people mightn't have seen the original Das Boot, and it is just a fantastic, it's one of the greatest TV war dramas of all time. And if you are in the mood for that kind of thing, it's a really gritty, claustrophobic drama set on a German U-boat in the Second World War. And it's just spellbinding. And it's on Amazon. Amazon has the original. Sky has the re-Das Boot.
Okay, we're almost out of time. So, Jennifer, just give me the name of your pick of the week, please, and the time it's on.
It's Charlie Brooker's Antiviral Wipe, and it's on BBC Two Thursday at 9 o'clock.
And Joe, your pick of the week is?
Channel 4, Wednesday at 9 p.m, The Country That Beat the Coronavirus. Looks at how South Korea beat the coronavirus, basically.
Joe Shea, Jennifer Gannon, as ever, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.